out of here before the next tide comes sweeping in. Let's go. Fast, but careful.
The corridors were streaked with patches of seaweed, small colonies of shellfish already taking over corners, building one upon another. The light still glowed in the ceiling, though the intruding ocean had put some out of commission. Ryan guessed that it wouldn't be long, days rather than weeks, before all of the lighting in that section of the redoubt failed. It took them some time to find their way through the maze of passages and corridors, all of them scarred by the ocean. In the hollows and dips, there were deeper pools of water, many containing small fish or scuttling crabs. They finally reached the stretch of the corridor that led to the gateways. It curved around to the left and sloped a little. Ryan, out in front, licked his lips nervously. If the doors were open, then they were in deep trouble. If they were closed, then they should be safe enough. They were closed. The lights were blinding. After the dimness of the tunnels, the array of comp panels and whirring and spinning discs was dazzling. Ahead of the six companions were the odd double doorways of the Matrans chambers, one with the security coding of 12, the other carrying the higher rating of 19.
Which one, Doc?
Oh, I'm sorry, my dear fellow. I fear that my thoughts were on too many mornings and 1,000 miles behind. I was wondering how our lofty Apache shaman would cope in the world of Claggettville. What think you?
Yeah, Donphil had a real skill. Best you'll ever see. Skill like that costs, and costs plenty. He'll be loaded with Jack and die a rich baron.
I do hope so. I do so much hope so. Now, there was a question from you, my dear Ryan, was there not? Something about which doorway we should use? The one to the gold or the one to the dragon?
Yeah. The one we came in through or the other one?
The other one? I fear I don't quite recall about the other one. Could you possibly...
Spacesuits in it, Doc? The one that someone had just been using?
Ah, it returns to me. Space. The final... What was it? A mission that would boldly go where... Sorry, my friends, it's quite gone. Yes, over Project Whisper, part of the totality concept. A self-sufficient station in space, hidden behind the far side of the moon. Parallax something. All the latest in regenerating food and... Those were the rumors that I heard.
Can we try that gateway?
Oh, I think not, Ryan. They would have a separate system of coded sec locks and all manner of deep comp traps. I doubt it would be just a matter of shutting the door to send us speeding to the Lord knows where.
But Ryan was still fascinated by the hidden possibilities of this mysterious second chamber, with its entrancing silver glass walls and door.
Could try it one day.
Yeah, one day, lover. But this day... Let's go.
Oddly, nobody seemed to want to make the jump. Each of them knew how physically draining it would be. They wandered around the control room, no one making a move toward the main gateway that had brought them to New England. Doc found himself a neat dark green seat with chromed casters and rolled himself around the panels, peering at the infinite array of knobs, levers, and dials.
Wonderful. State-of-the-art equipment here, the likes of which I've never seen. Must be for that second gateway. If only I had more time, I'm certain I could unravel its arcane mysteries and transport us spaceward.
How much time would you need, Doc?
Not long. 2, perhaps 3...
Days?
By the 3 Kennedys. No. Months, my dear fellow. 2 to 3 months.
Ryan checked the silver-walled room very carefully, looking for signs that it had been used in the days since they were last there. But even his keen tracking eye found no trace of recent visitors. The self-contained suits with their bubble helmets still hung neatly in a row.
Bastard hungry. We going or staying? Could go get selfies from outside rooms, yeah?
No. Tide'll be coming up again. Open the door here and it's goodbye to the gateway. But you're right, Jack. Come on. Let's move out.
The walls of the primary gateway were a rich turquoise color, reminding Ryan of the fine jewelry they'd seen in the baking deserts of the Southwest, which brought back a fleeting thought of Donphil Moore. But the Apache was now a part of the past. Ryan had always been a man more interested in tomorrow than yesterday. The six companions ranged themselves around the six-sided room, Ryan waiting by the heavy armored door, ready to trigger the starting mechanism that would send them, molecules scattered, to some other part of the Deathlands. As always, there was the doubt and fear that the uncontrollable machine, its instructions long vanished, might select a redoubt for them that was now buried in the heart of an active volcano, or crushed beneath a mountain of rubble. Jack sat down directly across from the door, his head lowered onto his knees, his fine veil of white hair tumbling over his legs. JB copied the pose, knowing from experience that this was the most comfortable position to adopt for a jump. The armorer looked up at Ryan and winked.
Here we go again.
Doc and Lori huddled close against each other, her young blonde head resting on the old man's skinny shoulder. Christy folded herself easily into a variation of the lotus position, laying her hands, palms up, on her thighs. She closed her eyes and let her head droop to her chest. Looking down at her, Ryan felt a sudden, overwhelming rush of love.
Ready? Let's go.
The door swung easily on its hinges, and the locking mechanism triggered the Matrans unit. Ryan stepped quickly across and sat down next to Christy, touching her softly on the arm, receiving a half-smile from under the fringe of her vermilion hair. They experienced the usual flashing lights, and the first tattered shards of white mist appeared. The metal floor plates began to glow, and Ryan heard the rising hum that always accompanied a jump. He closed his eye, seeing the patterns of pressure building inside the retina. His ears started to hurt, and he swallowed hard to clear them. Ryan pushed the back of his hand against his eye, trying to ease the speckled color of the deepening pressure. His last thought before the swirling darkness enveloped his brain was to realize that the dancing patterns looked amazingly like flowers. Blood red roses. Deathlands Dectra Chain is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, with Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Kate Torrey, David Coyne, Christopher Graybill, Christopher Walker, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Dan Smith and Brian Patton. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, Nathaniel Perry, and Dan Smith. Script adapted for graphic audio by Mark Delgado. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio titles. Owen Deathstalker was compelled to make a questionable decision when he reawakened the cyborg army of Haydenmen from suspended animation to enlist their aid in the Great Rebellion.
You can't make deals with Haydenmen. They don't respect anything but their goddamn destiny.
Now he must face the consequences of that decision, for the Haydenmen have begun to act on their own agenda. The augmented race who have proclaimed Owen the Great Redeemer have ensnared a planet's population as raw material for procreation. Their ultimate purpose, to facilitate the next stage in mankind's evolution and recreate all humanity in their own likeness.
There is so much we wish to show you, Redeemer. Much that you have made possible.